Tonight we're going to be talking, I know time is short and I promise not to keep you very long. Tonight we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, turn with you to 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to cover most of the chapter for our scripture passage. We're only going to read the first 9 verses initially. But 1 Samuel chapter 15 is where our text will be taken from tonight. Talking about Saul, fully submitted to God, more or less. And the question for tonight is, are you fully submitted to God, more or less? Would you all stand as we honor the reading of God's Word? 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. And then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all that the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." And so the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the opportunity to read a passage of your word and to discuss what's going on here. And Lord, I pray that you would set your servant aside, Father. I pray that you would bless the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit move in this place, Father. May you guide my words and may you be glorified and magnified in all things tonight as we discuss what you did in the Old Testament. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Saul, fully submitted to God, more or less. Saul was living the good life, and Saul was loving it. Point number one. I have 3 points, just so you'll know. He was living the good life, and he was loving it. Saul had become a mighty king. If you read the prior 4 or 5 chapters of the book of 1 Samuel, we see in chapter 9 where Saul was anointed king by Samuel. Does anybody remember the set of circumstances under which Saul was anointed king? It's a very interesting story. It involves, Brother Roach does, it involves a couple of donkeys. And Saul's dad had lost some donkeys. God ran the donkeys off. And so Saul went to look for the donkeys, and through an interesting chain of events, the search for the donkeys led Saul to the prophet Samuel. And when Samuel saw him, God spoke to him, let him know that he was anointed king. And so Samuel anointed him king. The point to this is not one of the points of the sermon, but it's just an interesting aside. God can even use a donkey to accomplish his will. Think on it for a minute. Let it sink in. If you know a donkey in your life, perhaps the Lord is using him. That's chapter 9. Skip forward a couple. Chapter 11 was the first incident where Saul gathered Israel's forces. God filled Saul with righteous anger, and he defeated the Ammonites and did it mightily. But Saul made some big mistakes, major mistakes. One of which was he did not wait on Samuel for the sacrifice. He got ahead of God. He got ahead of Samuel. And that was a pretty major mistake. But in Saul's mind, Saul was doing very, very well. In chapter 14, verse 47, we read that Saul was victorious against everyone that he fought. He was victorious. They were conquering people left and right. Saul had become a mighty king. He was a force to be reckoned with. And that's how we find him in the chapter that we read. He is very sure of himself. And he is full of himself and his service to God. Look at a couple more verses. Verse 12 and 13. Let's read those. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around and passed by and gone down to Gilgal. In verse 13. And then Samuel went to Saul and said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. These are Saul's words. For I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, did you pay close attention in the scripture passage that we read? Had Saul performed the commandment of the Lord? More or less. More or less, he had performed the commandment of the Lord. But he was sure of himself, and he was proud of himself, and he was happy. He was so happy, in fact, that he had went to set up a monument for his greatness. For his greatness. And we skipped a couple of verses, but in the two verses that we skipped, God spoke to the prophet Samuel. And God said, I regret that I ever made Saul king. And Samuel wept all night long. And then that's where we picked up, and Samuel went to speak to Saul. Saul had the I've got this syndrome. Any of y'all ever had the I've got this syndrome? God blesses you. You feel Him. You see Him working in your life. Things are good. And you get the I've got this syndrome. I've got it going on, man. I know what I'm supposed to do. God anointed me the king. And I am defeating everyone and taking names. I got it going on. As a matter of fact, I'm doing so well, I'm going to go ahead and build a monument to myself. And then Samuel comes and Saul starts backing up. Let's continue to read. This is where Saul starts to pay off God. Paying off God. Interesting topic. Verse 14. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? And the lowing of the oxen, which I hear. And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, Samuel. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. And then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And Saul said to him, Speak on. And so Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy these sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul was living it up. He had the good life. He had the I've got this syndrome, which is a very easy pit to fall into. But read this. And then Saul said to Samuel, But I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, the sheep, the oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel confronts Saul with his sin. And Samuel says, Saul's telling him all the great things. Look, we've utterly destroyed them. We did exactly what the Lord your God said for us to do, O great holy man of God. And Samuel looks at him and says, Why do I hear sheep bleeding? What are all these extra animals you got out here? What's this king you got tied up? Why is he there? Remember what God had said? Destroy all of them. If it breathed in the land of the Amalekites, kill it. Is basically what God said. If it breathed, kill it. And they didn't do it. So Saul starts to pay off Samuel and God in turn. God had given very strict instructions on what to do. He followed them more or less, but then he got caught. And he starts bartering and smooth talking. Bartering and smooth talking. He tries to reason with the man of God. But I was going to sacrifice them to your God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in Saul's position? God blesses you. You feel Him. You see Him moving. And then you get full of yourself. And you're caught between a rock and a hard place. And you start making deals and bartering with God. You start smooth talking to get what you want instead of what God wants from you. Most of you know I grew up on a farm. What you may not know is my dad went bankrupt farming. There was a big drought one year, and we went from having 2,000 acres to having 100 acres. Lost all of his big tractors, lost every major piece of equipment that he had. And so what my parents decided to do was buy a little sporting goods shop in Desert, White River Bait and Sports Shop. And they bought that and were very successful. God blessed in that little business. And it expanded. They opened up a little kitchen in there. Mom was cooking. Dad was buying and selling guns and selling bait. And the business grew and it was growing. And God was blessing. It was doing very, very well. And then my father started reasoning in his own mind. And he said, you know what? Man, I'm losing a lot of business being closed on Sundays. Because everybody fishes on Sunday. I mean, you live in Russellville. You know everybody fishes on Sunday. I drive by that lake every Sunday morning. Wonder if any of those people are going to church. And so my dad said, you know, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to be open all day on Sundays, but what we're going to do is we're going to go in at 5 and open up when we normally do, and then we'll close at 10, and then we'll come back at noon and open back up until 4 or 5 that evening. And so my dad started doing that. And his very successful business slowly started to decline, opening up an extra day of the week. We were already open 6 days a week. Now we were open 7, and his business started to decline. And within a year, God bankrupted him. Again, second bankruptcy. Within a year. He was making deals in his own mind. Dad was liking what he was doing. Things were making sense to him. It was going well. He had the I've got this syndrome, and he started making deals with God. And God took it all from him. Anybody been there? I've been there. I've seen it firsthand. Third point, what God really wants. I want to read verse 22. I'm going to read it in a little different translation, but I like the wording of this translation. Verse 22, but Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to His voice?" Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Read the last sentence. Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. God blesses you so that you will follow Him. Did you know that? There's a reason God gives you the things that He's given you. If God has given you a good job and you're bringing home $1 million a year, make a big offering and let's pay this sucker off, first off. But secondly, God has given you that for a reason. If God has given you a job where you make $8 an hour, God has given you that job for a reason. God puts you working with specific people for a reason. You may hate the people that you work with, but you're there for a reason. It's either for you to be a witness to them or for you to learn something. Are you witnessing and are you learning? God blesses you so that you will obey Him, so that you will follow Him, so that you will be a blessing to others. How's your commitment level working out? Are you doing everything that God has laid on your heart that you know He's told you to do? Or are you just skating through? Are you in the I've got this syndrome stage? Things are going good, man. I ain't ruffling any feathers. I'm just coasting. I'm cruising. God didn't call us to coast in life, people. He called you to step out of your comfort zone and witness to somebody in Omaha who don't want to talk about Jesus. Listen, next week, on Wednesday morning at 4 a.m., we're leaving this church. Me and Jackie and Trey and Wader and Kadrian and Maddie. And we're flying to Oregon. That's a long ways. Y'all pray for us. That's way out of my comfort zone. Because those people, it's not that they don't want to talk to you about Jesus or about God. They just have no concept. Nobody in Oregon goes to church. They don't go to church. So if you talk to them about the gospel, you're going to have to give them the whole thing, front to back, all of it. Kids, bring your Bible. Because they don't know. They've never heard it. That's out of my comfort zone. Are you stepping up to the plate? I'm not patting myself on the back because, folks, I've been lazy. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been lazy. And I venture to wage a bet that you have too at different times in your life. How's your commitment level to the Lord? In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, the Scripture reads, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Did you know that God wants you? This morning, Brother Doug said, God doesn't need you. And He doesn't. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need Dale. He doesn't need Brother Doug. He doesn't need the mission committee at this church. He doesn't need any of us. But He wants you. He wants you. He sent His Son because He wanted you to die for you. He cares for you. He loves you. And He just wants you to obey and to live for Him and to return part of what He's given to you. God desires your obedience. God does not want a smooth talker. I think far too often we give the Lord too many, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to." Man, I did that again. "God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Father, forgive me. I'm so sorry. I didn't want to do that. I know I did it last week. I know I had a problem with this 3 weeks ago. I know last month I was really struggling. But Lord, I didn't mean to do it today." Is that legitimate prayer? At what point does your "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that," is it just you saying words? What's the definition of repentance? Turn around and go in the other way. That's what repentance literally means. It means if you're going this way and you repent, you turn and you go this way. How many times do you pray the same prayer for forgiveness for the same sin before it stops meaning anything to the Lord? And I'm not... Listen, folks, we all have our favorite sins. I know that, okay? And that's a word that's my Michael terminology. That's not scriptural. You have a favorite sin, and chances are the devil knows exactly what it is, and he keeps throwing it at you because he knows he can hook you. It's like that favorite fishing hole, you know, where you know if you park your boat 3 feet off the bank and you throw toward that one stob right out there, you're going to catch something every time. That's kind of how the devil is with us and your favorite sin. He knows that. But folks, do you ever feel like that your prayers for forgiveness are empty prayers because you've prayed them so many times? Amen. Yes. God desires obedience. We try to barter our time and our talents and our treasure with the Lord when what He really wants is our obedience. We say, "God, if You'll give me this job, then I'll do this. I'll be able to tithe more. God, if you'll let me be able to preach like Brother Doug, then I'm gonna be the next Billy Graham. I'm gonna share Jesus with the world. God, if You will give me this relationship, then I'm going to get on fire for You, and I'll know it was from You because I'm just not good enough looking to win that girl." That's for y'all, right? "I'm just not that good looking. So God, if You'll give me this young lady, then I am going to be the Christian man that I need to be." You ever think God sets up in heaven and says, "You know, you're just full of it"? I mean, seriously. You ever think God sets up in heaven and says, "You don't mean any of that"?
I gave you the job where you're at and you're not faithful. You're slacking at work. You're stealing paperclips every time you turn around. I gave you the relationship that you're in and all you can do is think about somebody else. I gave you the talent that you have and you never use it. You never use it. Told you to be short tonight. Because it doesn't take a whole lot of words to say, where's your commitment level to God? Are you following God more or are you following Him less? Folks, I want to follow God more. Don't you have a desire to be something more than what you are? I'm not talking about a bigger house or a bigger boat or a bigger car. I'm nearly 40. I'm beyond the toys stage in life. Man, I want to do more than what I am. I don't even desire a bigger church. I don't desire a bigger ministry necessarily, but what I desire is to be more faithful in what God gives me. Because when you are faithful in what He gives you, that's when your commitment level is where it needs to be and He'll bless you more. Because you've proven yourself. It's just like marriage. You've got to prove yourself faithful. You've got to prove yourself faithful. You've got to prove yourself faithful to your children. You've got to prove yourself faithful to your God. Where's your commitment level? Tonight as we pray, as we have an invitation, Dale, if you'd go ahead and come. Where's your commitment level, folks? Have you been saved? Let's start at the beginning. If you have not been saved, then you've got to get the main thing, the main thing. You've got to start at the beginning before you can run to first base. You got to hit the ball first. And you don't hit the ball, let's keep with baseball. You don't hit the ball until you're standing at the plate with the bat. That's salvation. Has there been a time in your life when you have come to the point where you understand that you are not all that? You don't have it all going on. You don't have it figured out. And you understand that Jesus is all that. And you've turned to Him and asked God to forgive you of your sin and for Him to be the Lord of your life and the Savior of your soul. Has there been a time when you've done that? If there's not, then that's what you need to do tonight. But if you have done that, where's your commitment level? Are you a bench warmer? Are you out there swinging and trying? Are you running those bases? Man, I want to play. I always hated sitting on the bench. That's boring. Nobody gets any. That's not just not fun, just sitting there. Guys, get in the game. Get in the game. And maybe tonight you need to come up here and you need to pray. You don't need to talk to me. I'm not anybody special. I'm just like all of you. But maybe you need to come up here and you need to kneel at this altar and you need to pray and you need to ask God for real to forgive you because you've been lazy. And you have not been doing what He has called you to do. Maybe there's somebody at work that you know you're supposed to be talking to about God and you've just not done it because you don't like them. Tons of people didn't like Jesus. They killed Him. Literally. He didn't like a bunch of them. He loved them, but He didn't like them. A bunch of those Pharisees, He was mean to them. Because they didn't like Him. But He still came and He still died for the whole world. And is it too much to ask for you to witness to one person at work? Let's all stand. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for this night. And I feel like I've done a very poor job at explaining these Scriptures, God. But I do pray that out of what has been said tonight, Father, that our commitment level has at least been challenged. Lord, I pray for those who may be here tonight that are not saved, that have not accepted You as their Master, as their Lord, that has not accepted the free pardon of sin through Jesus Christ. God, may You give them courage. May Your Spirit move in their hearts and may they come forward tonight to receive You as their Savior. Father, for the rest of us, may You bless this time. I pray even now people are praying. I pray that people would come to the altar and they would pray. And I pray that our commitment levels would all be stepped up because You are worthy. You are worthy to receive honor and glory. And You are worthy because You gave Jesus for us. Father, help us to serve You. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Brother Dale.